Good morning. Welcome. Good to see everyone here this morning. It's great to be in the house of the Lord on the Lord's Day. And there's a new baby being passed around here. We welcome baby Mackenzie. She was born last Saturday, I think it was. Is that right? Last Saturday. So that's great to see baby Mackenzie. And you can all do your ooing and aahing after the service. Good to see you both. Daniel, good to see you too.
Thanks.
Over to you.
Morning. Just refer you to the back of the bulletin for the announcements. First announcement, just report that there was, off the report that came out, there was a part missing from the nominating committee. Michelle's blaming herself, but I know how busy she is, and so it's a very honest mistake for sure. But what was missing was Pastoral Concerns Committee, which is a three-member committee. Diane Howells has completed her term, and standing for election are Andrea Reed, and the present members are Bill McFarker and Peter DeGraff, and they're both of their terms end in 2014. So just add that to your little list. Ladies are welcome. Thursday mornings, Bible studies at 10 a.m. If you're interested, see Sandy Reed if you'd like to know more about it. And this coming Wednesday is our AGM, our annual church meeting, and that goes at 7:30, and that'll be held at the back. Tuesday, February 12th, Shrove Tuesday, and that's the pancake supper, and it's here between 5 and 7 p.m. And then on the 13th, which is our Ash Wednesday service, and that goes at 7. And on 17th, Sunday the 17th, that's our church anniversary. If you're interested in becoming a member, and we're a good group, and you want to do that, talk to Ian about that in the next little while. The review of the CCC bylaws that were at a previous meeting has resulted in some minor amendments. People have been looking at that. Thank you for doing that and coming up with those amendments. They're going to be discussed and voted upon at the annual meeting, so if you have any more that you would like to add to that or talk about that, then make sure you're there. And this is the second of the two notices. And also, I think in regards to the annual meeting, I think Charlie has some things that he would like to say.
Just really quickly, the treasurer's report was available when you came into the door this morning. Obviously, it didn't make it into the package of reports that you got earlier. The treasurer's report is now done and finalized. We had an incredible year. After 11 months of worrying about our financial results, in the month of December, we received fully one-third of all of the offerings to the church in the entire year were received in the month of December, which makes life as a treasurer very interesting. But at least the year-end results, which is what everybody looks at, and I know you will all take them home, study them diligently so we can discuss them on Wednesday night. But they're available, and we're in great shape. Thank you.
That was it?
That was it.
Oh, okay.
I could be longer on Wednesday, though.
Do you want to do it now? Save us some time on Wednesday? Okay. Are there any other announcements? Thank you.
I think what Charlie made reference to there, I think we call it answered prayer. I also think it's a technique of Charlie. When we do the September general meeting, he paints this big black picture, this big black hole or a big red hole that we're in, and he knows it works every year. But thank you, Charlie. That's good news. It's nice to hear that. We worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. We come now before his presence in silence. In our gospel reading later on in the service today, the Lord Jesus quotes the prophet Isaiah from Isaiah 61, verses 1 and 2a, and this is what he says. The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Amen. I'd like to welcome Margaret up to the podium here to lead us in our approach choruses. Thank you, Margaret.
Good morning, everyone. Our first chorus is Blessed Assurance, verses 1 and 3, and it's 345 in the hymn book. Okay? Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of the Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I in my Savior am happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, lost in His love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. And our second one is His name is wonderful, and it's 101 in the hymn book, and we will sing it through twice. His name is wonderful, His name is wonderful, His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord. He is the mighty King, Master of everything. His name is wonderful, Jesus, my Lord. He's the great shepherd, the rock of all ages. Almighty God is He. Bow down before Him, love and adore Him. His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord. His name is wonderful, His name is wonderful, His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord. He is the mighty King, Master of everything. His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord. He's the great shepherd, the rock of all ages. Almighty God is He. Bow down before him, love and adore him. His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord. And our last one to take us into worship is called Bind Us Together, and it's from the Red Book. So this fits in with the scripture reading from Luke this morning. That's why I chose it. Okay? Bind us together, Lord, bind us together with cords that cannot be broken. Bind us together, Lord, bind us together, bind us together in that cannot be broken. Bind us together, Lord, bind us together, bind us together in love.
I think, like lots of people, Margaret's been battling her throat and chest and all that kind of stuff. And at one time, she wasn't sure whether she would be able to do this morning. But, hey, she did pretty good, didn't she? Thank you, Margaret. Good job. Nice choruses. Thank you for what you did there. Let us bow our heads and join together in prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God, gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you that you have called us each and every one to come together in this our family church, in this our place of worship. And we are thankful, Lord, because when we come into this place, we are just surrounded by your love. We sing Bind Us Together, Lord, and that's what you do, right? Right from the start, we are surrounded by your love, and we are continually being closer bound together by the love that we have for one another and by the wonderful love, Lord, that you have for us, which we share. The week is past, Lord, and from this week past we have many things sitting upon our hearts and upon our minds, but we come now to worship you, Lord, and so we pray that by the power of your Spirit that you will fill our hearts and fill our minds with your Holy Spirit, that we may think of you, Lord, that we may think of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, whose name we lift high in worship this day, and we ask you, Father, to accept this worship. Accept the praise we bring, Lord. Open our hearts and minds. Bless us with your word. And fill us with the love of Jesus, in whose precious name we come and in whose name we pray, as we pray as he taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory for ever and ever. Amen.
The Old Testament reading this morning comes from Nehemiah chapter 8, verses 1 to 3, 5 to 6, and 8 to 10. And at first I thought, first thing I looked at when I saw that it was missing verses 4 and 7 in that verse, and I read through, and then I thought that, thank you, Ian, for removing those two, because I can't pronounce those words anyway. And then I found out yesterday at the elders' meeting that it is actually part of the lectionary, so I'm quite thankful for that. Nehemiah 8. All the people came together as one in the square before the water gate. They told Ezra, the teacher of the law, to bring out the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded for Israel. So on the first day of the seventh month, Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly, which was made up of men and women and all who were able to understand. He read it aloud from daybreak till noon as he faced the square before the water gate in the presence of the men, women, and others who could understand. And all the people listened attentively to the book of the law. Ezra opened the book. All the people could see him because he was standing above them. And as he opened it, the people all stood up. Ezra praised the Lord, the great God, and all the people lifted their hands and responded, Amen, Amen. Then they bowed down and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. They read from the book of the law of God, making it clear and giving the meaning so that the people understood what was being read. Then Nehemiah the governor, Ezra the priest and the teacher of the law, and the Levites who were instructing the people said to them all, This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep, for all the people had been weeping as they had listened to the words of the law. Nehemiah said, Go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks, and send some to those who have nothing prepared. This day is holy to our Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Join me now in the responsive reading, which comes from Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they reveal knowledge. The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple.
The precepts of the Lord are righteous,
the fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The decrees of the Lord are firm, and all of them are righteous.
May these words in the mouth and this meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer.
When we come into church on Sunday mornings, we are happy to see one another and we have lots of good stuff to share. And Peter plays either the piano or the organ, and we only give him but a passing ear, as it were. But right now, Peter will present for us special music. We have no idea what he's going to do, but he has our undivided ears. Thank you, Peter. Happy that it finally escaped from your brain. I think you left your music behind, Peter. No music. Thank you, Peter. We listened, we enjoyed. Thank you so very, very much. And now your gifts for the work of God in this church and throughout the world will now be received. Thank you. Gracious Father, we are ever thankful for your grace and for your goodness to us. And so we come to you now, Lord, and we bring our gifts to you. These gifts are but humble tokens of our gratitude, but we ask you, Father, to accept the gifts and to accept the givers, for we dedicate them all to the extension of your kingdom here on earth, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Thank you. The children would like to come and join me, please. Okay. Have we got everybody squeezed in here? Yep. Everybody got a seat? Right, is everybody seated and comfortable? Yep. Good. Stand up. Everybody stand up. What we're going to do, we haven't done this for a long time. Everybody, who knows how to do the hokey pokey? Yeah, well, we've got some who know how to do it. You what?
A reindeer one.
No, we're not doing a reindeer one. We're doing the original, straightforward, unchanged hokey pokey. Okay? And we're going to start with the left hand. Or shall we start with the right hand? We'll start with the right hand. So, are you ready? One, two, three. You put your right hand in, your right hand out, your right hand in, and you shake it all about. You do the hokey pokey and you turn around. That's what it's all about. Hold on a minute. Wait a bit now. Wait a bit. What's the last verse? What do you do on the last verse? Your body in. Your whole body in. Or your whole self in. Okay, what we're going to sing? Your whole self or your whole body or what?
Your whole self.
Yeah, right, whole self. So you've got to do this good. Are you ready? Everybody else, stand up. Come on, we're all going to do it. If you're able to stand up to do the hokey pokey, you put your whole self in. Are you ready? One, two, three. You put your whole self in. Your whole self out. Your whole self in. And you shake it all about. You do the hokey pokey and you turn around. That's what it's all about. Hey, lovely, thank you. You can all sit down now. That was great. That was great. Can you imagine if your right hand said to your left foot, I'm not going to do the hokey pokey because I want to be the left foot. Can the right hand be the left foot?
No.
No. Yeah. Can you imagine what it would be like if the head said, I don't need you lot to do the hokey pokey, all you lot, I can do it on my own. Is that possible?
No.
Couldn't, could it? And you know what? The hokey pokey is a bit like our church. We all come to church together. And nobody can come to church and say, I can be the church on my own. I don't need all you lot. Can't do that, can you? Because we wouldn't be a church, would we? The church, what is the church? What is a church? What's it made of? Wood, brick? Made of what?
Dead people?
I see dead people. Just take one of those words out. Instead of saying dead people, yeah, people. The church is people. It's not a building at all. And all of we people together, we're all the church. And if we don't do this together, we're not a church at all. And so that's what we're talking about here. The church is a bit like the hokey pokey. You put your whole self in. We're all in it together. So shall we say a little prayer together now? Let us pray. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for making us your church and your family here on earth. And we pray, Lord, in all things that you will bind us, love us, and keep us together. We pray in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Thank you. Sunday school time now. Must be a birthday.
You all hokey pokey very well, thank you. And now we're going to stand and we're going to sing to the glory of God the hymn 87, May Jesus Christ Be Praised, verses 1, 3, 4 and 6. Follow the screen. Thank you. Thanks,
I got a phone call during the week from Diana Page. And we all know who Diana Page is. She makes that delicious suppers for us. Beautiful, mouth-watering meals. Diana. Well, you know Diana's mum, Muriel Helpard. Well, for quite a while now, she's been in a residential care home down in Mackenzie Town, right on the bottom end of Calgary, and Diana's been travelling backwards and forwards and, you know, and long journeys and tough time. Well, anyway, she phoned me during the week, and she had such a joy in her voice. Her mum, on Thursday, moved into Didsbury to the Aspen Ridge Lodge, is it? What do they call it? Aspen Lodge Ridge. You know, the one next to the hospital. She's in there now, and Diana was so happy about it. And she said the timing couldn't be better, because today Diana was flying with her family down to Mexico for a family wedding. And she said, I feel so much happier now that that has happened. God answers prayer. You know, we got to remember in his time, he does things in his time, and God knows better what he's doing than we could ever know. And take it to the Lord in prayer. Every time, it works every time, and the Lord answers all prayers in his time. So shall we just bow our heads and join together in prayer? Let us pray. Eternal God, our gracious Father, we thank you for the word that you give to us for our inspiration and for our guidance. For your word that shows us how to live in a way that is pleasing to you and which sets free your liberating and healing power in our midst. We thank you, Father, for all who proclaim your word faithfully, day by day, in small ways, in large ways, and all to help us understand what your will is for our lives. And most of all, Lord, we thank you for the living word, the word that became flesh and dwelt amongst us, full of grace and truth. We thank you, Lord God, for coming to us as Christ Jesus to be our Saviour, to show us the way to a right relationship with you and a much better and happier relationship with one another. We thank you again, Father, for the fellowship that we enjoy here amongst our church family. And we realize that we have this precious gift through your holy presence here with us. Help us to extend your love to all whom we meet and welcome into this fellowship, into this place, in your blessed name. Lord, we pray that you will bless those who are missing from our fellowship today. And we ask for your healing presence with those who suffer, and with those, especially, Lord, whose names we now whisper before your throne of grace in our silent prayers. We pray in silence. There are times, Holy Father, when you bring to us an awareness of our failings. Our failings, Lord, especially in our efforts to be your good and worthy representatives in our communities. We do those things, Lord, that we know disappoint you. And we fail to do the things, Lord, that we know which would please you. We let you down when we know we could have stood up for you. And there are times, Lord, when we fail to speak the words of comfort and support that we could do. But we are thankful, Holy Father, that you have promised to forgive us, to forgive us when we confess and when we repent of our sins, Help us, Lord, to remember this. And we ask you, Father, to forgive us. And as we seek your forgiveness, Lord God, we also seek the refreshment of our souls. We yearn for the living waters of life that you promise to all who come to you. And this is why we are here, Father. Take our burdens from us. Show us, Lord, how to lay our burdens down and to leave our problems with you, and fill us anew with that fullness of your Spirit and with that life that only you can give, Lord, that we may worthily serve you and rejoice in your grace and in your presence. We ask you, Lord, to grant us the same Spirit that was upon our Lord Jesus, a Spirit of mercy and compassion, the Spirit of truth and justice, and the Spirit of power and love. Lead us, Lord, through the week ahead by your most holy word, by your gracious Spirit. Put in our hearts and on our lips, and let it give light to our minds and shine through all that we say and do. To your everlasting praise and glory, both now and evermore, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We listen now to the word of the Lord.
Good morning. The gospel reading is from Luke 4, verses 14 to 21. Jesus is rejected at Nazareth. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. He was teaching in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. He began by saying to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." And the epistle reading is from 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 to 31a. "Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now if the foot should say, 'Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body,' it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, 'Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body,' it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, 'I don't need you,' and the head cannot say to the feet, 'I don't need you.' On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor, and the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. While our presentable parts need no special treatment, but God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles, second, prophets, third, teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance, and of different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? Now eagerly desire the greater gifts.
Do you think St. Paul copied that from my children's address? Thank you, Laurie, for those readings from the scriptures. We stand and we sing to the glory of God. The hymn 508, I will sing the wondrous story. Would you pray with me, please? And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be perfectly acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. There was once a hospice chaplain whose name was Larry, and he befriended an elderly lady who was 80-something year old. She was a lady patient, and her name was Mary. And this chaplain visited her regularly, and he was very impressed with this elderly lady's great faith. And one day he got a phone call to say that she had taken a turn for the worse, and if he wanted to see her, he ought to come now. So he went to visit his old friend, and she was in a very deep sleep. And the nurse said to him that she really needed her sleep, She had been in a lot of pain, and so Pastor Larry didn't want to disturb her. He didn't want to wake her, so he just turned, intending to quietly leave. But right at that moment, she opened her eyes quite wide, and she stared right at him, and then she said, "Oh, for a moment, I thought you were Jesus. For a moment, I thought you were Jesus." In our lectionary epistle reading this morning, in 1 Corinthians 12:27, it says, "Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it." You are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it, meaning that your body, my body, our bodies are the bodies through which Christ does his work. So I guess you could say that it wouldn't be such a bad thing if once in a while someone said, "Oh, I thought you were Jesus." Oh. God has given each one of us a purpose. Something for each of us to do for his kingdom and for his church. And in the same way that God the Father gave God the Son a purpose, God the Father gave to you and I something special that we have to do for him. And in today's gospel reading, the lectionary gospel reading, the Lord Jesus Christ himself announced his purpose. He announced, if you like, his mission statement. Since his move away from Nazareth, Jesus had commenced his ministry. He had performed great miracles. He taught with authority. And the first four chapters of John's Gospel deal with this particular period of Jesus' ministry. But now, in Luke chapter 4 and verses 14 and 15, we read, "Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. He was teaching in their synagogues, and everyone praised him." And then verse 16 tells us, "Jesus went back to Nazareth, where he had been brought up." Quite naturally, everyone in Jesus' hometown of Nazareth, they wanted to see him. The local boy who had become famous, the great preacher, the miracle man, some even say a prophet. And verse 16 continues and said, "And as usual," or "and as was is his custom, he went to the meeting place on the Sabbath." Why did he do that? Why did he do that? Because that's what he always did. He did as usual. He did as was his custom. It says he went to the meeting place on the Sabbath. It was his habit. He went to church. That's what he did. It was his custom. Never missed. It was a priority with him. It was important to the Lord Jesus Christ to go to church, to share in the fellowship of the church. We were created to worship God. If we do not do that which we were created to do, we will never really know the peace of God in our lives. It's why we were created, to worship God. So Jesus went to the synagogue. The Jewish system of places of worship went like this. The temple in Jerusalem was for the big things. It was for sacrifices. It was for special feast days like the Passover, like Pentecost, like the Day of Atonement, and so on. The synagogue was kind of more like our local church, meeting the spiritual needs of the people on a day-to-day basis, meeting people, feeding people on the bread of heaven, as we all need to do. And the worship service in the synagogue always followed the same pattern. It was very organized. It was always to the same structure. Because structure in worship, the same as structure in life, is important and it is necessary. And their worship service started with the Shema. The Shema. And of course, we've talked about it before. This is how every devoted Jew begins and finishes every day, with these words of the Shema. It comes from Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. What did Jesus say when they asked him which was the greatest commandment? This is what he said. This is what Jesus quoted as the greatest commandment, along with, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. This is how important this was to Jesus. And after that, they begin with the Shema, and then it is followed by a time of prayer. This is their organized form of worship. Then a different person would stand up and read from the scriptures, or as they had the law of Moses, the Pentateuch, the first five books of our Old Testament, the five gold rings from the 12 days of Christmas. That's what they read from. And then everyone would praise the Lord, followed by more prayers. Then a synagogue official would invite sometimes an older member of the congregation, or if they had an important visitor, that important visitor would be invited to stand and read from the books of the prophets. Then the scripture reader would sit down at the seat of Moses. And this indicated that this one who sits here has the authority to teach the law and pass comment on what has been read. And this is the role that Jesus fulfilled on this particular occasion that we read of in our scripture today. Finally, they would say more prayers. They would once more praise the Lord. And then they would finish. How do you think they would finish? They had a potluck lunch. There's reasons behind what we do here. They had a potluck lunch. And Jesus was a special visitor. He was recognized as a rabbi, and they handed him the scroll of the prophet Isaiah, which Jesus opened, and he chose to read that part which we know of as Isaiah 61 verses 1 and 2a. The words we used in our call to worship today for our service. So Jesus read, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me." Remember verse 14? It said, "And Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit." And he continued, "Because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor." About 80% of the Jewish nation were considered to be poor. And the theology of that day was, if you were rich, you were approved and blessed by God. If you were poor, you had somehow displeased God, and you were a sinner. Not a lot changes, eh? Money makes the world go around. I'm not going to sing it, Peter. You're all right, don't worry. But Jesus opposed this line of thought, and he went on in his ministry to show how wealth could indeed be a huge obstacle to entering the kingdom of heaven, when wealth itself becomes the object of an individual's worship. But when Jesus said that God has appointed him to preach the good tidings to the poor, it is very unlikely that he means the materially disadvantaged. Jesus is talking about the spiritually poor. All of those people then and now whose lives are centered on themselves. People who put themselves at the center of all things, of all thinking. And this little poem that I put in your bulletin today, which I'm sure you've come across before, entitled My Tea Party, or I, Myself and Me. I had a little tea party this afternoon at 3. It was very small, 3 guests in all, just I, myself and me. Myself ate all the sandwiches whilst I drank up the tea. It was also I who ate the pie and passed the cake to me. I, myself and me. Jesus reveals that most of our sin is about the life that we live for I, myself and me. And Jesus continued, He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind. In 1974, a man named David Berkowitz left the US Army and returned to New York, where he got involved with a group of Satanists, people who worshipped Satan. And Satan took a stronger and stronger hold on this man's life, and it led to his involvement in a shooting and killing of 6 New Yorkers. He wounded 7 others and set more than 1,400 fires throughout the city in 1976 and 1977. And he was given the name in the press of the Son of Sam. Today, he is one of 266 convicted murderers in the Sullivan Correctional Facility in Fallsburg, New York. When David Berkowitz went to prison, a Christian named Rick shared his faith with him, and he gave him a Gideon Pocket New Testament. You know those little ones where they've got the Psalms in and they've got Proverbs included? And having nothing else to do, he read it. And after several weeks went by, God reached out and he touched the life of this man, this Satanist worshipper. And this man was reduced to tears when he read Psalm 34 and verse 6. This poor man called, and the Lord heard him, and he saved him out of his troubles. And this is what precisely happened to this poor man. He said he felt his heart melting as he heard God speaking directly to him. He went down on his knees and he poured out his heart in confession to God. And you can imagine what it was like. Prison officers and inmates doubted his conversion. But as he grew in faith, he gradually won their respect. Today, David Berkowitz is considered a model prisoner. He accepts that he deserves to be where he is, and he deserves to be there for the rest of his life. But this is what he said. God has given me peace. He has reassured me that he has forgiven me, although it took a long time for me to understand that. He also says that he stands on the words of St. Paul when Paul says that anyone in Christ is a new creation. The old one has gone. Jesus says he has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and to set the oppressed free. And Berkowitz says, I feel more free now in prison than I ever felt in my life. Because I know Christ. Because I know Christ. So David Berkowitz is physically in prison, but he is spiritually free. And Christ, the Lord, did that for him, a man whose life was steeped in evil. But Christ is the answer. Christ reached out and he did that for him. Now the question is, are you free? Are you spiritually free? Or are you still bound in the I, myself, and me prison? Jesus declares that he will open up a brand new world to all of those who are now spiritually blind. He will bring us out of our spiritual poverty into the richness of God's glorious kingdom. So on this day in the synagogue, in his hometown of Nazareth, Jesus set out his mission statement. He laid out his purpose, his reason for being here on earth as our Emmanuel, as God with us. Let me go back to 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 27. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is part of it. So we also share the same purpose that Christ has, the same mission as our Lord Jesus Christ. Together with him, we can proclaim, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor in spirit. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the spiritual prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Is this how you live your life? Is this your purpose? If this is truly your own personal purpose, then maybe it was you when those words were spoken. "Oh, for a moment, I thought you were Jesus." Thanks be to God. Amen. For our closing hymns, first of all, we stand and we sing to the glory of God, hymn 512, three verses of "My Saviour's Love." We sing to his glory. We stand and sing to his glory.
Thank you.
now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all and all whom we love this day and forevermore.